Hello and welcome to Security Wire Weekly for Wednesday, July 19th, 2006. I'm Bill Brenner. This week, a new report shows how bots and search engines like Google have become indispensable tools for web application attackers. Oracle's Darius Wiles talks about kinks in the database giant's patching process in this week's Security Spotlight interview, and a well-known vendor is accused of funding spyware. But first, our top story. Microsoft says recently discovered PowerPoint flaws are serious enough to merit a fix that will be released for the next patch Tuesday, if not sooner. The software giant released an advisory Monday confirming the existence of a zero-day flaw affecting PowerPoint 2000, 2002, and 2003. Attackers have actively exploited the flaw since last week. The software giant said it is now testing a security update and will release it as part of the August 8th Patch Tuesday release, or sooner if necessary. The zero-day flaw came to light within a couple of days of Microsoft's July patch update. It fixed 8 different holes in Microsoft Excel as well as additional flaws in Microsoft Office. Soon after, security holes were also found in PowerPoint. Since then, additional PowerPoint flaws have surfaced. Next, web application flaws have drawn more attention recently from online outlaws who have found success and profit in attacking such vulnerabilities. Backing up that claim is a new report from security vendor Fortify Software that shows how bots and search engines like Google have become indispensable tools for web applications attackers. Worse yet, it shows their handiwork is getting more sophisticated and tougher to trace. From early January through late June, Fortify collected data from corporate IT environments that use its Fortify Application Defense product, which secures J2EE-based applications. The resulting report outlines 4 trends. Bots are being used in more than half the attacks against web applications. Attackers are finding flawed web applications using Google and other search tools. Directed attacks are growing more sophisticated, and attackers operating from bases around the world are getting better at covering their tracks. Fortify told SearchSecurity.com that it was surprised to see how much useless data bots generate in order to mask their attacks, and that Fortify customers were shocked to see how much data search sites like Google collect on their company's web application flaws. If a website inadvertently reveals sensitive information or advertises the presence of a vulnerability, then Google's index of the site will contain evidence of the flaw, which the bad guys then use to develop attacks. And now for this week's Security Spotlight. Oracle released its quarterly critical patch update Tuesday, patching 65 flaws. Those who follow the database giant's security efforts know the company's patching process has not always been pretty. The company has frequently been accused of sitting on flaws that are more than a year old and of failing to properly fix problems that the quarterly patch bulletins claim to address. Database security experts have also criticized Oracle for failing to clearly describe security flaws in its bulletins. Darius Wiles, Oracle's senior manager of security alerts, recently sat down with me in the studio to defend Oracle's patching procedures and talk about how Oracle is working to improve the process going forward. Darius, welcome to Security Wire Weekly.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak to you, readers.
My first question is about Oracle's move in late 2004 toward a quarterly patching process. We've interviewed a lot of DBAs over time who have said that they approve of the cycle and that they like having a schedule where they know when things are coming. But there's still some concern out there that the process can be confusing and that flaws aren't always patched as advertised. Talk a bit about what Oracle has been trying to do to correct the process, specifically where some fixes aren't always complete across the board.
So the critical patch update scheme was a scheme that was put together in conjunction with customers. The objective was to meet their requirements for providing quality patches on a predictable schedule so that they could plan in downtime and testing time. Typically, it takes large customers between 3 and 6 months to test and apply Oracle security patches to their systems. So the objective of the critical patch update scheme is to meet the requirements of customers.
Now, one complaint we tend to hear after each critical patch update is that the security bulletin can be very difficult to make sense of, that there isn't always a clear way to tell which specific flaws affect which specific products. And we've also heard some concern over time that there's very little detail about what the specific vulnerabilities are and how they could be exploited. Talk about any plans Oracle may have to streamline the advisory process over time. Are there any efforts underway to redesign the bulletins to make them more user-friendly or to include more of those vulnerability details?
The inclusion of more vulnerability details is something that customers have asked us for. Our concern is that releasing too many details will allow people who wish to create malware or other malicious software the ability to easily reason about what the vulnerability is and then easily create exploit code. Okay, so we're walking a fine line between giving customers enough information to make the decisions they need to make. Does this apply to them? How much risk does it put them at? Do they need to apply critical patch updates to all their systems or some of their systems? And those are decisions we want customers to make based on the information that we give them. Yeah. So on the other hand, you know, it's countered by not wishing to give too much away.
Talk about a lot of the challenges that come into play that are part of that can sometimes make it difficult to come up with the perfect fix when you're dealing with so many different platforms.
Okay, so we currently support of the order of 20 or 25 different platforms, and by platform we're talking about combinations of hardware and operating system. We also support a number of different versions for each product. Customers want to apply and then maintain a particular version of the product, so we need to go back quite a long way in time to provide patches for those products. So that creates a difficulty for us in terms of the amount of work that we need to do to provide patches for all the different combinations of platform and version. We focus on the most commonly used platforms, but the point of the critical patch updates is that we don't leave any customer behind. The goal is to release patches on the official release date of the CPU for all of the currently supported products and releases.
Talk to me a bit about how in the last critical patch update there was what some have called a partial fix, where there would be a patch that would work for some platforms, but then for other platforms the advisory informed people that, you know, it would be coming for their platforms in a few months out. Talk about what goes into making that kind of decision to release a patch that will fix certain platforms or most platforms, and then delaying a patch that maybe 3 or 4 other platform versions.
The patches are created independently for each of the different platforms and versions. Mm-hmm. So that's work that goes on in parallel. There is some coordination that needs to happen. The patches are typically created for a set of platforms and then ported over to other platforms. So there's like a sequential series of events that needs to happen for those. Okay. The primary objective for us is to release quality fixes. We don't want to be in a position where we ask customers to apply the fix for a security vulnerability in a critical patch update and then need to update that fix and ask the customers to apply in a future critical patch update. Okay, so our objective is to get it right first time. So to that end, the testing for the individual patches happens in parallel, and if there is a problem with the particular patch, then we will work on resolving that. Ideally, all of that work will happen by the official release date of the critical patch update, but where it doesn't, we release the ETA date for when that patch will be released. So customers know when they're going to get their patch for the platforms and versions that they're using, and can plan the maintenance and downtime and a testing around that date. I think that the term partial fix is incorrect, because rather than release, it tends to imply that we're releasing patches that fix some things and not others, whereas the reality of the situation is that customers on particular versions and platforms have a fix they can apply on the official release date. Other customers do not have a patch on that date, but they have an ETA on when they can expect the patch.
Now, Oracle security experts such as Alexander Kornbrust and Pete Finnegan have been among those who have over time praised Oracle for really making a strong effort to strengthen the code that is worked into the newer products. But they've expressed also that they wished that there was more of an effort to fix the weaknesses in the older supported platforms. Talk a bit about the priority when it comes to fixing the older supported flaws. Is it pretty much a matter of, you know, the newer products, the newer code has to come first, and then the older stuff you see as something that you can afford to get to later? What goes into that process?
There's no explicit policy to favor the more recent versions of products. But the reality is that they are easier to fix because we have a patch set mechanism that is designed to fix a lot of code in one go. So for security fixes, they can easily slipstream into that process, and customers on the more recent versions will benefit from that. For the older versions, they don't have this same patch set mechanism that they can use. So the critical patch updates are the only means that they can get security fixes. We prioritize what goes into each critical patch update based on the severity of the issue. So that really is the determining factor.
Do you ever have a problem where, you know, since you are trying to really put a lot of focus into the newer platforms, is there ever a case where maybe sales goals have undue influence on the priorities of what gets fixed first?
It's based on an objective assessment of the severity of the technical severity of the flaw. So we have an in-house risk calculator that in some respects is similar to the Common Vulnerability Scoring System, or CVSS. It looks at certain criteria, certain aspects of a vulnerability with a view to coming up with a numerical score as to how severe the issue is. We use that as one of the inputs into deciding what to include in critical patch updates. But other inputs are the publicity of the vulnerability, things that are already published on the internet are raising the priority stakes. Vulnerabilities that are found outside the company have a higher priority because we believe that they potentially pose more risk to customers than issues that we find internally. In fact, we find about 75% of security vulnerabilities in-house, but it's the ones that are externally found that we're more focused on fixing quickly.
Okay, Darius Wiles from Oracle, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Finally this week, the hits just keep on coming for Vonage. The internet phone service provider has been harshly criticized following its disastrous initial public stock offering, but now it's getting slammed all over again. This time, though, it's accused of funding spyware. According to spyware researcher Ben Edelman, much of the $20 million per month the company spends on marketing goes towards spyware-delivered advertising. Edelman's research shows Vonage ads have appeared in more than a dozen nefarious ads, including spyware-delivered pop-ups, banners injected into other websites, spyware lead acquisitions, and spyware-delivered banner farms. As Edelman noted in an article on his website, Vonage isn't the first company to engage in such practices, but even if the spyware-driven ads are unintentional, Vonage is still indirectly making payments to spyware vendors, funding the spyware that has taken down countless corporate PCs around the world. And that's Security Wire Weekly from SearchSecurity.com. The latest security news is always available as it breaks on our news page at SearchSecurity.com/news, where you can vote in our latest news poll and sign up for our Security Wire daily email newsletter. And don't forget that you can download more of our podcasts at searchsecurity.com/podcast. I'm Bill Brenner. Thank you for listening.